getting a divorce, even thinking about getting a divorce, can be overwhelming, scary, and sometimes exciting. Join divorce coach and mediator Mandy Walker for conversations about divorce. The more you know, the easier it will be to make your divorce healthier, less stressful, and to put it behind you. Here's Mandy.
Welcome to Conversations About Divorce. I'm Mandy Walker, and today we're continuing our conversation about going public with your divorce, and we're focusing on what your child's school needs to know. And I'd like to start with three of my guidelines. My first suggestion is that when it comes to letting your child's teachers know what's going on, sooner is better than later. Don't wait until your child is having trouble adjusting to two homes or is missing homework assignments. Their teachers are a part of your team. They can play an integral role in helping your child to adjust to their new arrangements if you let them. Second, find out early on how your school can handle communicating directly with both you and your soon-to-be ex. Neither of you will likely want to be dependent on the other for notices, whether it's about field trips, school closings, grades, tests, or performances. But you each have to take responsibility to ensure that the school has the current contact information for you. This is no longer your spouse's responsibility. My third suggestion is a reminder that your child's teacher is not a mediator for you and your soon-to-be ex. Don't put them in the middle of your arguments or expect them to take sides. If you can't agree on a resolution to a particular issue, then use a mediator or a third party to help and then take the resolution to the teacher. Now, obviously, those are very simple, broad guidelines, and we're going to start digging into depth on some of those things. And joining me today is psychologist and single parenting expert, Dr. Leah Klungnus. Welcome, Leah.
Thank you.
And thank you for joining us today. I thought we could start by talking about timing and when to let your child's teachers know what's going on. I said sooner rather than later, but my question to you is how much sooner? Would you, for example, let your child's teachers know before you've told your child?
I would not tell my children's teachers before I told my child. Just because it might be the expeditious thing to do now, but eventually your children find out what you've done. You know, there are no secrets in the world. And I think there's that kind of sets the stage for feeling betrayed, feeling that somehow they didn't, it just really isn't a good idea unless your child is of preschool age.
Okay, so if they're very young, then you might say,
Want to talk to the daycare provider or the nursery or kindergarten teacher. But it's very rare that children of school age are not, are somehow oblivious to the upheaval that's going on in their home, which is, of course, the end of their parents' marriage.
Right. And I'm thinking, too, there's lots of times I've had lots of clients who've thought, okay, this is the weekend that we're going to have the sit down and tell our children what's happening, but they end up, it gets postponed for some reason. So the danger, if you told your child's teacher on Friday that this is what you're going to tell your child over the weekend, and then you end up postponing it, they go into school on Monday and the teacher says something to your child, that's really going to upset things.
That is going to be upsetting. The other reason to tell the child first and tell the teacher later is, let's say, just to make things easy, you know, your child's been aware since the first of the month. You wait a couple of weeks, you make an appointment to see the teacher, and instead of sitting down and immediately blurting out that a divorce is in the works, you ask an open-ended question about how your child has been doing lately in school. And the teacher may say, gee, it's just the same as we discussed at our prior conference. Or he or she may say, I'm really glad you made this appointment. I've been seeing this and I've been seeing that. So delay can also be diagnostic for you to give you an indication of how your child is immediately coping with the announcement that his or her parents are no longer going to be together.
Okay. See, so I would probably say do it sooner. Like if you've told your child to contact the teacher and kind of give just
give within
them
a couple of weeks. Within
or just,
a couple, within
just
a
give them a
weeks.
Very simple heads up and say, this is what's going on. Just want you to be aware of it. Go ahead. You were going to say something.
This is where email is a blessing.
Yeah.
And it really opens up another point that I really want to make. And that is that what you tell the professionals at school is not confidential like what you are telling your attorney or perhaps your individual or family therapist.
Right.
The teacher will have an obligation to share it with other teachers, perhaps at a child study team meeting, definitely with the principal. So if you provide the information on an email, which you can write, take a breath, go back, edit it a little bit. You've said exactly what you choose to say, and probably that email will be printed and put in your child's folder, cumulative record folder, for the time being. But you prevent letting your own emotions, your own feelings, kind of muddle the message, and your message should be about the importance of communicating with both parents and to let the school know that there's been, a change in family circumstances. The teacher is definitely not interested in the gory details of what's going on at home and what he did or what she did or what she said or what she planned to do, any of that. It's just not appropriate to share those things in your child's school.
Right. I'm going to come back to that in a few moments. But first, I think, with the younger children in elementary school, most of the time they just have a single teacher. So letting the teacher know what's going on is pretty easy. But by the time they get to middle school and high school, they have so many more teachers. Is it important to tell all of the teachers?
I think it's important to find out how information is communicated, let's say, in your child's middle school. So it might, instead of going to individual teachers or asking for a meeting with all of the children's teachers, perhaps it's better to work through the guidance counselor.
Okay.
Or the school psychologist.
Okay. So really find out what system is in place at your child's school.
Right. Exactly.
And then I did have another thought, too, is that a lot of kids are involved in after-school activities that are school-based. Mm-hmm. So while you're thinking about communicating with the school, you might also want to talk to the coaches on their sports teams and club sponsors. And I'm thinking, because it's not the academic learning environment, those environments are often more relaxed. The kids are there socializing, doing their activity, but they may be opening up and confiding more in the people who are running those activities than in the classroom teachers.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, your child's teachers, particularly at middle school and high school, are your child's support group, as are their coaches or music teachers, all of the band teachers, all of those people. So you want to inform them, but not burden them, and let them continue to have the kind of relationship with your child that your child especially needs, right at this critical point.
Right. So, and that kind of goes back to what you were saying about the teachers don't need to know all the gory details. I was thinking that, they don't usually need to know if there are third parties involved, and they don't really even need to know where you're at with the legal process. But I think I was curious what your thoughts were on the question of third parties. It's like if your child is aware of a third party and maybe one of their parents has already moved in with somebody else, is that something that you should tell the teacher?
Well, I think you have to step back and look at everything individually. How is this new relationship in your life or in your former partner's life, How is that impacting on your child? With an elementary school age child, they may say to the teacher, wow, you did a really good job on that homework assignment. And the child might reply, well, Uncle Tom helped me or Aunt Laura helped me. And the teacher, you know, the child assumes that the teacher is all-knowing. It turns out maybe Aunt Laura or Uncle Tom is the new romantic interest in one parent's life. So just maybe to give them, you know, it's hard to tell the players without a program, just a brief mention of, you know, my child's dad is, you know, now living with a woman, and her name is Laura. My son may, you know, mention her by name, so that's helpful to know. Or, you know, I've moved out, and if you're the mother, I've moved out, and I'm now living with a man named Tom, and, you know, my son or daughter, you know, may mention him.
Yeah, and I've
that's the information the teacher needs. How you got to that place, and all about Tom, or all about Laura,
and
really,
how you,
the teacher doesn't need to know.
And how you feel about that. You're right. The teacher doesn't need to know.
Save that for your therapist.
I've also run into situations where the third party is another parent at the child's school, and that parent has a child, and the two children are friends or know each other, and I think that could lead to some complications.
That will invariably lead to complications. And the way to not have your child be part of what will inevitably be lots of gossiping is to just remember to take the high road. You want to say whatever it is you want to say, but loving your child as you do, you're going to want to keep it classy.
Right. So to your point earlier, vent to your therapist, offload there, offload in the same place, in a safe place, and then treat the communication with your school like a business communication.
Absolutely. School is your child's business. It's where your child does his or her work. It's not, you know, your safe place, you know, emotionally to feel better about whatever, you know, you said. But if you just keep that in mind, this is where your child lives and does work, and it's just not your place to vent. It's your place to vent.
What about other issues like, say, severe mental illness, like an untreated bipolar disorder or a drug addiction?
That your former partner, your child's other parent has?
Yes, yes.
Well, that might be appropriate to share, but you have to ask yourself, what do you need the school to do with that information?
Right, right. So it's all about, you know, does that condition or circumstance impact your child's performance at school in any way? And
yeah, I mean, perhaps if your child is in the later grades, fourth grade, fifth grade, sixth grade, middle school, you know, and there's a lot of emphasis on healthy choices and so on, maybe the guidance counselor needs to know that the other parent has a history of addiction.
Right.
And the person will say, the school personnel will say, thank you for letting me know. That's good to know. You know, that's good to know.
Right, right. What about if you, the relationship between you and your ex or soon to be ex, if they were really very angry, resentful, bitter, should you give the teacher a heads up on that? You still don't have to go into the details behind the behavior, but it might be courteous.
I think that crosses the line into TMI, you know, too much information.
Okay. Okay.
You know, unless there was, you know, every breakup has its own particular type of pain. And one person is always farther ahead emotionally,
yes,
or than the other person. That's just, you know, that's just how it is. So So there's always going to be anger, resentment, you know, those kinds of feelings. That isn't, you know, that isn't news. If the police have been called to your home, that kind of information, the school would probably just like to know that. If you're in a small community, they maybe already know.
Yes.
You know, those police scanners let everybody know in small towns what's going on.
Right.
But you just have to remember, in terms of should I tell, should I not tell, is this too much information, is it not, that the teacher is going to repeat this to others.
Right.
Even the most ethical teacher or the most ethical teachers will certainly only repeat it to people who need to know. The other teachers, even if it's like third grade and you're in one classroom all day, you still have the art teacher, the music teacher, the physical education teacher. Maybe the child gets speech therapy. You know, lots of kids do, you know, any kind of special services. And certainly, certainly the principal.
Right.
And pieces of information, it's just human nature, have a way, you know, of growing. You know, like the old game of telephone.
Yes.
So,
yes.
Again, I stress the importance of what does the teacher really need to know, and understand that the teacher is not your therapist and not your attorney. This information will be shared, guaranteed.
So I want to come back to that, but first let's take a break. I'm Mandy Walker. This is Conversations About Divorce, and today we're talking about what your child's school needs to know about your divorce. And my guest is Dr. Leah Clunness, co-author of the award-winning book, The Complete Single Mother. So, Leah, you were just talking about really trying to keep your conversation with the teacher very businesslike. And it was occurring to me that there were lots of times when my kids were in particularly with elementary school, I guess, I had a relationship with the teachers because I was the person who handled most of the communications between schools. And I would think as the other parent in that situation, it's easy for them to get, it's much harder for them in a divorce situation to establish that sort of relationship because there's already been this kind of ongoing bond between one parent and the teacher. Is it hard for teachers not to take a side in the divorce?
I don't think that's a particular challenge for teachers because they don't want to take a side. They don't want to be part of this drama and conflict. I think that a parent acting in their own child's self, you know, best interest would just, and this again can be accomplished via email if things are particularly tense, but to give that other parent the teacher's names and contact emails and the fact that the school likely has a website,
right,
you know, that can be accessed.
Right.
And perhaps the suggestion too that you give that the teacher be given self-addressed stamped envelopes to put in so that the other parent gets the same notices that go home with the to the custodial parent.
Right. So that gets us into like the whole area of communicating with your schools. And I like to kind of break that down into two separate segments. One is communicating at the classroom level, and the other then is communicating with the school administration. I think at the classroom level is what you were just talking about there. And it's like going to be important to find out from each teacher how they've handled communicating with other parents who are divorced and what sort of systems and processes do they have set up? Do they send an email, in which case it's easy to add another parent's email address to that list? Or are they sending folders home with actually, you know, printed out material at the end of each week? And could they then duplicate that and send two folders home so that each parent can get one?
I think that's an excellent idea because although divorce is so deeply personally wounding, it's not an uncommon event in parents' lives.
No.
So unless you're talking to a first-year teacher on her first day in the classroom, he or she will have a system for communicating with parents equally, parents that do not, you know, necessarily, you know, live together. Their parents also, I mean, this is a little off the topic, but, you know, there are also parents who, you know, where one parent may have a job in a different city, you know, economic times being such as they are.
Yes.
So, you know, there are several reasons, possible reasons outside divorce where parents receive separate notifications.
But
remember, I say this for your listeners because I know you know, but these are federal laws. Parents cannot be shut out of information about their child in school.
Right.
So the school will be eager to assist you.
And so one of the points that I was going to make is, like, after you've talked to your child's teacher, if what they're proposing really won't work for you, then you do need to be prepared to take that to the next step and talk to the principal and say, this is my situation and this is what teacher XYZ is proposing and this is why it won't work for us. I really want us to work on a solution.
I think that would be what you would say to a teacher if he or she said, you know, this is how I do it and this is how it's going to, you know, this is how it is and I've been doing it this way for, you know, X number of years. The appropriate response is, I appreciate that, but this is not going to work for my family situation at the moment for reasons that we've discussed. So I'm thinking that the next step might be for us to sit down with the building principal.
Yes.
And see if we can get a little creative, do some problem solving.
Right. I mean,
if you not go to the principal without telling the teacher. you're going to take that next step.
Right.
And often they can get even the most recalcitrant teacher can get pretty flexible when you're basically saying, I'm going to go to your boss and say, I'm not happy
right.
with you.
Right. But it's just, you know, I've had people who relate to me that their teacher said, well, I can't do that because if every child in my class had divorced parents, that would double my workload. And what I would like our listeners to understand is that that's not a valid reason to accept a communication process that isn't going to work for your family.
There's no valid reason that any classroom teacher should reject a fair proposal about communicating with both parents. It's
right.
just not. It's really just not. It's just not acceptable. And you always do have options like going, you know, speaking with the building principal.
And I think it's also
50%. Let me just add so I'm not muddling myself later. Since 50% of marriages end in divorce, it's very likely that figuring out how to communicate with parents who do not reside together is part of most teachers' routines.
I know, but we talk about how prevalent divorce is, Leah, but I have to tell you that I am still surprised at how ill-equipped some schools are at handling divorced parents and communicating with them. I'll give you an example. Emergency contacts. How often do they have a list that says this is a 1, 2, 3, and they call the first one and they stop there? But I run into situations with parents where both parents want to be contacted in an emergency. And so the schools have to don't necessarily have the systems to say, you must call both parents in this situation. And that to me, that is really a natural consequence of divorce. It's very prevalent. And yet our schools are still not, don't have the systems. Many of them don't have the systems in place to handle that on a routine basis.
Well, I'm not going to argue with you for sure because I know that to be, no, I know that to be, you know, I know that to be true. There's some schools, you know, it's very hard to generalize because some schools handle it just, you know, very simply and matter-of-factly. And others, and other schools, it's, you know, it's a big, you know, it's a big deal. And you do have to get the, you know, you do have to get the principal involved. My advice is see where you get with the classroom teacher, but know that the classroom teacher is not the final word.
Right. Right.
And as parents, your wishes in terms of emergency contacts and assuring that both parents get the same information, this is not an unreasonable request. As I said before, it's really based on federal law. So I feel sorry for people that, you know, they're going through divorce and all this tumult, and then they need, you know, then they have to have some kind of hoorah at school because the teacher is rigid. But it's really up to you as a parent not to accept that rigidity, let's just call it that, and have one parent be left out of important school communication.
Right. There's another area too, I think, in terms of the administration level, the school directories. My kids always had school directories that the parent-teacher association or the Boosters Club handled, coordinating all of that. And I often found with those that they weren't necessarily set up very well to handle students who had two homes and needed both put into the directory. And how do you, especially if the one parent has a different last, now has a different last name than the other parent, and how do you connect that with the child? So, and that I think can be a little bit more challenging to deal with because those efforts are run by volunteer organizations. So I always tend to be more forgiving of people who are volunteering their time and trying to make, you know, work with that or a little bit more understanding of that. But it's, nevertheless, it can be very frustrating.
It really can be. It really can be. I mean, PTA is volunteers, strictly volunteers, and sometimes things with volunteers fall through the cracks, and it's unfortunate. But really getting those day-to-day communications from your child's teachers, that should be your primary focus.
Right.
If you can't get your name in the directory, that's really a shame, but... that's not going to make or break you.
So another thing on the classroom communications, I think, is to try to do your best to make sure that the responsibility isn't placed on your child for getting information to their other parent.
No, absolutely. Absolutely. Your child has got enough transitions and things that he or she are coping with in the face of your divorce. That's an adult responsibility.
Right.
No child should be a courier of any sort.
Right.
To the other parent.
Right. So let's switch around a little bit and talk about your child's schedule, because I know for many families, parenting time changes are centered around school. So maybe mom's time ends with drop off at school and dad's time begins with pickup at the end of the school. I mean, ideally you and your ex are going to be on the same page of that, but how much responsibility should you place on your school to ensure that your child is going home with the correct parent?
I would say no responsibility to the school. That's really outside the abilities and responsibilities of school to ensure a safe and timely transition.
Okay. So
I cannot advocate that. If there are, of course, the school schedule, you know, kids planning around different parenting times certainly has lots to do with the school schedule. But do you really want your child to be sitting at the office waiting for the other parent to show up, or having the teacher say, and then no matter how discreet the teacher is, the kids know, oh, you know, this is the day that, you know, he goes with his dad. very few kids walk home, walk to school anymore. Would it be possible to go home on the bus, let's say, that goes to dad's house on certain days? Using the school transportation system instead.
Right. But you're basically saying it's not the school's responsibility
job.
To know your parenting plan
and
to know who's.
No, I would imagine in most schools, if the principal was told this is what we want and this, we're going to do it at school and here we go. I'm very confident that the school principal would pick up the phone and contact the district office and talk to the assistant superintendent or the school attorney about, their liabilities and their responsibilities here. It's really an untenable plan for a lot of different reasons.
Right. So what about if your child is sick? How does the school know which parent to call to pick the child up if they are calling for whoever's parenting time it is?
I think what would be prudent would be to provide the school nurse, as well as the school secretary, who then would put it in an appropriate place. Just to make things easy, if it's Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday with one parent and Thursday, Friday with another parent, they need to know that if it's a Tuesday, they call dad. If it's a Wednesday, they call mom.
Right.
It's not your child's responsibility to know on what day
which parent should
be called,
particularly
if the child is sick or injured.
And then if the school calls you and it's not your parenting time, then do the grown-up thing and call the other parent and say, hey, I just got a call from school, and work together on picking up your sick child.
Absolutely. Let me text him right now and tell him that you'll be calling. Do you have his correct number? Here it is.
Good. So, Leah, we're coming up on our time. I have one more topic that I wanted to talk to you about. And that is usually a great way for parents to stay connected with their child is to volunteer to chaperone a field trip or to go have lunch with their child. And obviously, it's probably not a good idea for you both to sign up for the same field trip. But ideally, that's something that you and your ex would sort out. But is it something that you should expect your child's teacher to monitor? Is that reasonable?
I think that's not reasonable. What is reasonable is when you meet with the teacher or you get something home from the PTA or something from the teacher saying, these are the opportunities that parents have to volunteer. Perhaps with younger kids, it's reading a story at story time or something like that. Volunteer to do something. Let the other parent know that you volunteered for this activity at this, at this time. He or she is not interested in showing up at the same time you are either. Although if you could pull that off, what a thrill that would be for your child.
Yeah.
But it won't be a thrill if you two show up at the same time and are snarky and unkind to one another.
Right.
But if you let the other parent know, then you can kind of count on the other parent saying, I don't want to be there at the same time. Or the other parent may say, gee, it would really make Susie or Billy or Johnny or whoever your child is really happy. Do you think we can, both be there at the same time? Because you're both going to be there when your child's in the school play or an awards assembly or, something like that.
Right. Absolutely. So the last thing your child needs is for the pair of you turning up and making a scene at school. They'll never forgive you for that.
Never.
Leah, it's been wonderful talking to you today. Do you have one last tip that you'd like to share with our listeners?
Simply that it's so important to remember that school is your child's safe place. I mentioned before it's their workplace, but it's also a place where they get a respite from whatever is going on at home. And they do not need your family drama brought into what is their safe, happy workplace.
That's a great tip there, and I think that's one we can all remember. My guest today was single parenting expert Dr. Leah Klungnus. You can find out more about Dr. Leah at her website, drleah.com. That's drleah.com. And you may also enjoy listening to our previous conversation that aired in September on what you need to know about parent-teacher conferences. Thank you for joining us today, Leah.
My pleasure.
And thank you for listening. I'm Mandy Walker, and you'll find a wealth of divorce-related information at my website, sincemydivorce.com. And I hope you'll join us next time for more conversations about divorce.